Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
As we've been hearing, the new police chief for the south of the county says it's important that the police force is visible to the public. Superintendent Adam Gallop has taken over as the area commander for the south of Cambridgeshire, covering Cambridge City, East Cams, South Cams and Huntingdonshire. I spoke to him a little earlier. Adam, thank you very much for speaking to Cambridge 105 Radio today. You did, I gather, start your police career at Parkside some 25 years ago. So what was the place like then?
Well, the building hasn't changed all that much, to be honest. But yeah, I joined in 1996. Obviously, the nature of policing has changed quite significantly over that period of time, not least digital change. But fundamentally, you know, this job is about dealing with people. So in that regard, you know, it hasn't really changed at all. Engaging with criminals that we want to bring to justice and supporting victims and witnesses. And I just, you know, over that 25-year period, it may not feel like it to everyone, but we have become much better at engaging and looking after victims, and in particular, dealing with vulnerability and safeguarding.
So the human side, if you like, of policing, as much as obviously solving crimes and is obviously up there, but I guess it does go hand in hand with making sure the customer is satisfied, for want of a better way of describing it.
Yeah, absolutely. A public satisfaction is a key measure for us, and I think it's also an important part of police visibility. Is every time somebody makes contact with the police, it may only happen once in their lifetime. I hope it's not a frequent occurrence. But every contact, we need to respond to it promptly and honestly, and deliver positive outcomes swiftly as we can. So that, you know, from that first phone call into the police, it's so important that we get that initial response right.
So your priorities then, what's in the in tray, if you like, as you settle down into your new job at Parkside?
Well, the answer to that is there's an awful lot in my in tray, and policing can become really complex. So my job is to try and make the complex simple. So I can summarise my priorities as trying to safeguard the vulnerable, combating acquisitive crime, reducing harm in communities, which includes tackling organised crime groups and county lines, and also trying to deliver that improved public satisfaction that we've talked about. So there's a broad range of issues there. Mm.
And I guess some of them even come in pairs. For example, county lines and the vulnerable. It is quite often the vulnerable who get targeted by the county lines groups.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at county lines as a single issue, you're absolutely right. But one end of the spectrum, we need to deal with the vulnerability of those people that are dragged into criminality, probably against their wishes. And then at the other end, you've got the organised crime groups that we really need to tackle and bring to justice. So it's a challenge to identify those people that we need to look after and those people that we really need to lock up.
And I guess on the vulnerable side of things, that means working with other agencies to make sure that, if you like, once you've done your bit, these people don't end up going into some sort of cycle. So 6 months down the road, you end up having to deal with the same problem for the same people.
Yeah, working in partnership is a key to resolving a lot of these issues, especially over the longer term. And, you know, we've come through quite an interesting period where some of our partnerships have been tested and some partnership arrangements have been really, really strong, and some have been really difficult because, maintaining that regular daily contact has been a massive challenge for all of us during the COVID period. But the police, we need to understand, I think my view, we really need to understand our role in the partnership, and that is that we deliver enforcement. So that's our priority. And then along the way, if we need to signpost and support other partners with delivering other elements of safeguarding and tackling vulnerability, then, yeah, that's when those partnership arrangements need to be strong. But our principal role in the police has to be around law enforcement.
Do you think that the vulnerable, if you like, almost at the centre of crime at all times, they're not necessarily those carrying out the crime, but they are very often those who are impacted it by it?
Yeah, I mean, vulnerability is a key theme that stretches through domestic abuse, child abuse, modern-day slavery, serious sexual offences, fraud, perhaps directed at the elderly. And again, you know, online fraud has been a growing industry through the pandemic, and I'm sure all of us, whether we consider ourselves to be vulnerable or not, have been bombarded with emails and text messages, which are phishing scams, trying to hook us in and click on links. So there's a broad range of vulnerability there, and it's certainly a key theme. But you're also right in that elements of vulnerability drag people into crime as well. And we talked a moment ago about county lines and the recruitment of young people into county lines. Comes with exploitation. And you know, the question and challenge for us is: do we want to criminalise young teenagers for their involvement in drug supply, or do we need to really allow other agencies to take a lead role in diversion?
We've talked about the pandemic a couple of times in passing. Has that, I wonder, changed at all the nature of crime, just even if it's just ever so slightly? Or has it simply, as we all go back to work, has it simply reverted to what it was 18 months ago?
I think time will tell the answer to that. I mean, crime has changed during the course of the pandemic, but we're seeing a return to normality. Some things I suspect will change, and like I said, this increase in online criminal activity I think is probably here to stay, and we try to respond to that through our partnerships and preventions department, and we've recruited some additional online fraud prevention officers, so we've got a little bit more expertise there. We've got some greater dedicated staff also investigating fraud and online crimes, working from a central team. So, you know, not all delivered locally, but we do need to adapt and change, and we're doing that.
I know a lot of, you know, our listeners will be thinking, well, he's talking to a policeman. I never can't remember the last time I saw one on the street. I don't think that's strictly true, because, you know, as I wander around Cambridge, you often do see a policeman or policewoman on duty there. But there is this kind of thing that the public seem to think that, oh, if we're not, we haven't got enough police because we're not seeing them enough.
You know, we could debate that for quite a long time. I would love to have a police officer on every street corner, but the reality is they are very busy doing lots of other things. This notion of visibility, I think, is not just about seeing cops. You need to see them at the right time. So for me, you know, if I consider, you know, my family, I don't think they need to see a police officer on a regular basis. They need to see a police officer when they need a police officer, if that makes sense. So when something's gone wrong or when they need help, that's when we need to be present. But this notion of visibility, I tell a short anecdote, if I might, about when I was in Ely in around about 2004, and we were clearing out some old paperwork, and we found some correspondence from one of the parish councils dated in the 1960s complaining about a lack of visibility. So I think this issue around visibility is clearly something that elements of the public demand to see and have done for generations. And visibility sometimes is also about understanding what the police are doing, and maybe that's an area that we constantly need to improve, and our use of social media hopefully can achieve that. You know, we could be down your street early one morning arresting a burglar who lives a few doors up for you, and we might be in and out and you don't know about it.
Something I quickly wanted to ask you about before I let you go, and that's sort of antisocial behavioural orders. We had one the other week, I think, which was running from something like St Andrew's Street through to Bridge Street. And the criteria that you use in order to get one of those in place, what are the things? Is it actions which have happened on previous days, or maybe some sort of intelligence that you've heard about in order to head something off before it actually becomes a problem in the first place?
Yeah, so I'm not certain of the example you're talking about that, but there may have been a dispersal order. So where we've got repeated occurrences of antisocial behaviour, which is then linking into crime and criminal offences, then we can build a picture. In the cases of a dispersal order, that can be the authority of an inspector, and it just gives officers a few extra immediate powers on the ground to move people on from areas of risk or concern. So one of many tools in the armoury, but you know, in the case of dispersal orders, not powers or authorities that we would use lightly, because clearly there are infringements on people's rights there about freedom of movement. But tackling antisocial behaviour will always be a priority for the police, because it matters to local communities, and quite often as well, there's a stepping stone and an escalation of criminality that starts with minor acts of criminal damage and disorder on the street that then develops into more serious matters. So it's important for us to try and deal with these issues before they come out of hand or become critical.
That's the new man in charge at Parkside Police Station, Superintendent Adam Gallop. It's 9:15 now.
We're live and local. Cambridge 105 Radio.